Hey, I'm Josh, co-founder and CEO of Expansive, and this is the FM Fix, our podcast. Our guest today knows what it really takes to keep the workplace running. Leanne is the facilities manager at Oliver Bonus, with more than 10 years experience across retail, manufacturing and health and safety. She's implemented CAFM systems from scratch, led preventative maintenance programs across busy estates, and helped teams work safer, smarter and more efficiently. In this episode, she joins us to talk about the real world of FM, the unseen challenges, the human side of the job, and the growing importance of visibility, metrics, and ESG. For anyone who's ever felt their work goes unnoticed or wants to build influence in FM, this episode is full of straight-talking insights from someone who's been there. Leanne.
Hi.
let's start with the day-to-day, because people outside of FM often have no idea what it actually looks like. So what does a typical day look like in FM?
I think the first point is there's no such thing as a typical day. And it's such a cliche for somebody to say in this industry. I think even people who are starting out like, oh, what is a day to day? When we interview, there's no such thing as a typical day for me. But I guess, you know, coming in, checking what's happened, what are the surprises? And I guess that's what I mean by not typical.
Yeah.
There's always a surprise in FM. But yeah, just checking what has happened overnight, checking in with my team, and getting through my mountain of emails.
So that must be pretty, you know, challenging, you know, that no day is the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just said you could walk in and there's been surprises. How do you cope? How do you manage with that, you know, with those challenges?
Triage the challenges, prioritization. We are extremely organized individuals in this industry. So that's the absolute key to our jobs, is where do we send things? Who do we contact? Communicating with stakeholders, speaking to the right people. The biggest thing for me as well is communication with also your customer. So I guess where I am now, our stores, our offices, the employees are our customer, and just making sure that we are keeping in contact with them, updating them, and yeah, working through those issues.
So what's one thing you wish more people understood about what facility managers really do?
I like to describe this one like spinning plates. It's a metaphor I use quite frequently, that this job is like spinning plates. If you imagine somebody in the circus has just got all of these plates spinning, and each of those plates is something important, like planned maintenance or reactive maintenance or compliance or surprises. There's health and safety. All of those different plates are spinning, and it's working out what's the right time to take one of those plates down and action that whilst keeping all of them spinning. So I've got one plate here that I'm going to action, and in this hand, I've got all of the other things that are continuing to happen anyways in the background.
So you've got to be an expert at multitasking.
You've got to be an expert at multitasking and just working out what's the right thing to be actioning at that time. What's that priority? What's that burning thing? Some things can be pushed, some things can wait, and some things have to come to the forefront and have to be dealt with there and then. But you can't forget those other plates are still spinning at the same time.
No, absolutely. So we often hear that the facility management industry sector role is often undervalued.
Mm.
Why is it?
I think we, unfortunately, are in an industry that deals with negativity. People come to us when something's broken, there's an issue. IT, very similar industry.
Yeah.
People only want to speak to you when something's gone wrong. And so I guess, yeah, negativity is one of the things that we're a problem-fixing team, right? So I think we don't really get an opportunity to shout out about the good bits too. We don't tend to get to speak about that we've solved those problems and celebrate those wins.
But you should shout about the good things.
100%, yeah. It's something that I have been working with my team on, and I know that my boss is very passionate about it as well, is celebrating our wins. How do we celebrate our wins in FM? Because it is quite difficult to do that. But I think people forget that although we are fixing the problems, we are also as a team involved in a lot of projects that are carrying businesses forwards, making changes to our facilities, improving our facilities. In the role I'm in now, helping, get those stores open and supporting with utilities. And we have so many things that we are impacting that's positive. We try to get the team to talk about those wins on a weekly basis, just to remind ourselves that we are doing good.
And how can we change the perception of FM?
Through our data and through our communication. Communication for me is our biggest asset, yeah. If you pardon the FM pun.
Yeah, love that.
And I think we can forget to add that little bit extra onto what we do. I think we're so good at fixing problems. We are overachievers at fixing problems that we then forget to add on that little bit of extra, which is communication, which goes back to celebrating our wins, shouting about what we achieve, but just following up on those resolutions, following up after something reactive has happened and just checking in that what we've delivered has gone smoothly, or is there any lessons to be learned from that? And we're then building that image that we're not just there for people when we're fixing a problem. We're there for people for the duration, for anything preventative. I guess with data in previous roles that I've had, it's been really important for business making decisions. I've been able to communicate areas of investment based on the data that we have available. That creates a positive image to your wider business, because you're helping that business make those positive changes, investments into their facilities, investments into their equipment, the lifespan of equipment as well. I think only positive conversations can come from being able to deliver that. So whilst we're just functioning as we are in terms of preventative and reactive maintenance, we're not really utilizing all that information. Lots of facilities managers out there have infinite data at their hand. We're all recording it. Well, some of us are recording it anyways in CAFM systems. Some of us are recording it in spreadsheets, but that is there and it's at our hands. And I think we should be able to do something with it.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think data is the new oil. Data is power. Data gives you insights. Mm-hmm. And I think the very best facility managers that I come across, find ways to utilize that data, whether it's through a CAFM platform or whether it's they're just really handy with Excel and more manual ways of manipulating that data to drive performance and give better visibility. And I think that is how you can help the FM department get noticed. Because that's what leadership teams want. They want metrics and they're tangible.
Yeah.
So FMs sit behind the scenes. How do you make sure your work and your team gets noticed?
Yeah, I think we can often be seen as an invisible team, that if everything is running smoothly, the heating is working, the roofs aren't leaking, then we are invisible teams, right? Data again, and communication. I'm going to keep saying the same too, but they're really important to me and they're really important to the role that I'm in now. I try not to be invisible myself. And I think that can also be forgotten. I think we can get ourselves into a habit of sitting behind desks and not physically getting out into our buildings. So I always like to get out and visit people, find out what's going on. Feedback is so important. Feedback from them directly about how our contractors are performing. And I like going in and finding an issue and going, oh, that actually needs some attention. And they'll go, yeah, we've already logged it. And I'll go, great. That makes me feel good, because then they're showing trust in what it is that what we're using and the systems that we have in place, our processes that are in place are working. Equally, if that feedback is, it never gets fixed, the same valuable experience for me. I take that away and go, right, okay, something's not right here. Delve deeper into that. What's not right? And I think through data, my point about data was that, that information is there. Like I said, it's in our systems, and delivering that to the wider business is really important, at showing how effective we're being as well, in various different formats. I could name a million, but yeah, just showing that what we're doing is effective.
So people and data.
People and data.
Yeah, you need to listen. You need to listen to the people on the ground.
Yeah.
Get that really valuable feedback.
Yeah.
And then hopefully the data is backing it up and assisting and also pointing you to the areas.
Yeah.
And that need addressing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've led multiple teams.
Yeah.
In very different environments. What's the key to keeping people motivated and safe?
So with the manufacturing environment, obviously working safely was our number one priority. How do we do this safely in a high-risk environment? Second question was like, how do we do this quickly? Because manufacturing, something's got to go out of the door. It's quite a high-pressured environment. We would have daily managers meetings where all different functions would bring to that meeting their metrics, what they were planning on achieving that day. And, you know, we really, my team felt the sense of importance that without what we were providing and the machines running, everything else around that conversation was not going to happen that day. So they really celebrated when they were able to do those impossible tasks and getting them involved with. We would have various touch points throughout the day. So from that initial, what's on our schedule? What do we need to achieve today? What are our next steps? To feedback partway through the day. Where are we? What have we got to do next? Mm-hmm. To at the end of the day, like, yeah, you know, I kept that machine running today. That product's gone out. And that would feed into the following day of like, guys, you know, we managed to ship this yesterday because you turned it around and you managed to get that breakdown rectified. So they really felt a sense of achievement through what they were doing there on that day-to-day basis. And I think that was just through that regular touch points throughout the day. From a retail perspective, is the positive conversations that we have with the people in our stores, the communication, again, that we have with them, following up with them to, you know, reiterate to them that we're doing everything that we can and we're putting measures in place and we always go above and beyond to make sure that that's the case. But having regular contact with them and following up after the fact, I know and I've heard firsthand that they're really appreciative of that. And that helps build relationships and trust with our team. I know the people in my team feel motivation in knowing that they've achieved that for them. And that they've made a difference in that problem solving.
So is it more reactive in retail than it was in manufacturing, rather than, you know, planned schedules? I know obviously in manufacturing, you know, you mentioned asset uptime and keeping your main assets performing at, you know, as close to 100% as possible.
Yeah.
But it does feel that in the retail environment that you've got to be able to react quicker to a problem.
Yeah, we do have a great deal of reactiveness. I'd actually say, even in manufacturing, you never know what's going to go wrong. So anything from a power cut could impact your equipment. And sometimes you just don't have that predictability. But you're absolutely right. Preventative maintenance is what improves your lifespan of that equipment, keeps it ticking over. From a retail perspective, I guess, you know, we keep the lights on, we keep the heating, we keep the doors open. That's our priority. And we're keeping everybody that shops and works in that building safe, warm, dry, and hopefully a joyful experience and environment.
It's always terrible experience if you walk into a shop and it's like freezing cold. Like the heating's not working.
Yes, yeah. And you always want to put those things into perspective, don't you? Someone will shout about their favourite toilet being broken and will be the worst thing that's ever happened to them in that day. But, you know, we do get stores that really go through it. You can't predict that they're going to experience, you know, they're going to experience a roof leak, for example. But, you know, we do have a strong preventative maintenance program that is equally important, that we keep that heating ticking over. We're huge on compliance. Everything's happening on a schedule. And, you know, through our main provider, we absolutely know that our preventative maintenance on our HVAC systems, for example, helps us predict when there's going to be problems also. Like, is that pipe work too exposed? Is that going to start freezing over? Even from a new store perspective, we get involved at that point at handover and go, oh, do you know, we might not actually be able to access that bit of aircon there for servicing. So those conversations are happening. It is something that's really important to us. But yeah, a different type of reactiveness, I guess, is what happens in retail.
I want to move on to how can FM leaders attract more young people to the industry?
I think talking about what it is that we have to offer, I don't think our industry is going anywhere. I know we have technology, and I think technology is only making our jobs better. I don't think it's doing our jobs necessarily for us. But there is a great opportunity there for technology in what we do. And that, I think, will attract. It's not really a profession. I guess you hear people talk about that they want to go into. No one wakes up one day and says, I want to be a facilities manager. Don't get me wrong. There probably is someone somewhere that maybe did say it. But it seems to be something that everyone I talk to has fallen into somehow, or was given an opportunity somewhere, and then it just grew and they just learned through experience. I think there's a great opportunity there for education, that if we got involved with education providers or we offered apprenticeships, that we could really showcase this as a profession for people. I think what's invaluable is in facilities management, you are a department that touches everything.
Yeah.
And there's a real opportunity there to then gather knowledge from all of those teams. Mm. I've learned lots from different departments over the years about what they do, how they function. Mm. I've learned from our buying departments how many samples they bring in and the processes they go through, just because I'm trying to improve an area for them or their storage. So it's really good to be able to get those touch points everywhere across. You're going to get invaluable knowledge. You're going to meet amazing people, lots of people with different experiences. And I think that that's one few areas of a business where you do get the opportunity to do that. So I guess if I was sat with somebody young, coming out of school, didn't really know what they wanted to do, I said, if you don't know what you want to do, this is probably a good one to start in, because even maybe along the way, you might decide health and safety is really for me. I want to go in towards that. Or you might go, I want to go into asset management, or I want to go into CAFM systems, or I want to, you know, you're going to maybe find a path for you. I want to go into operations. I want to really go into warehousing. Yeah. I don't know. But, you know, it's one of those areas that touches everything that I think would be a good opportunity for somebody who didn't potentially know the direction they wanted to go to.
That's really interesting. And I think our audience would really relate to that. So how did you, and I can take it, you fell into FM?
Fell into it.
So how did you fall into FM?
Well, I had a Saturday job that became a full-time job, probably much to my parents' annoyance when I told them I wasn't going to go to university. And I just was unhappy in that retail job and thought, how do I work out where I'm going to get a career? Like, I don't want to do this Saturday working anymore. I don't want to do these Boxing Day hours, you know, and I'm not going to university. I've really got to prove my parents here that I'm going to find something, and I'm going to run with it. And there was a receptionist job, which I think is quite a common thing, actually. I meet a lot of people that would have come up through reception or security or engineering or, you know, one of those kind of FM functions. And it was for a facilities company who was managing that building. And through that, I just picked up looking after the utilities, looking after security, looking after the engineer that we had on site there. And I had a really great manager at the time who actually took me to the head office and showed me the systems that they worked on there and how they worked and all the other places that they, you know, looked after. And I thought, I actually feel like this is something maybe potentially I could do. And it just grew from there. I mean, I had a relocation down to the Southwest and I was a secretary for a little while in an accountancy. But then shortly after that, I was offered my first help desk role with Screwfix. And within a few months, I was implementing my first CAFM system. And I think I've probably never looked back, and still doing it now.
What are your top three tips then for implementing CAFM platforms?
Oh, a really strong cup of tea. I think it's making sure that the data that you already have is in a good place.
Yeah.
You know, both situations I've been working off either Excel or an Access database, and you're kind of functioning along with email and Excel, and you're transferring that stuff over. It's making sure that that data that you've got there is in a format that you think is usable and you can transfer, and that will just make your upload so much easier. Yeah. Asset registering, I cannot scream enough about asset registering. I think it's so important to, you know, capture your assets. I'd say don't go overboard on capturing your assets. You don't need to asset tag a kettle, because that's something you will probably just replace if it breaks. But your real monetary value assets, make sure they're asset tagged, make sure you've got your detail, because I think your CAFM system is only as good as the information you put into it. So really do your work on what you're going to put in there, and you'll get so much out of it. That's probably my biggest tip.
So continuing on the theme of data and metrics,
yeah,
what role does technology play in spotting those issues early or measuring performance?
I think smart metering is a really good tool, especially for large estates, especially for buildings potentially you don't own and you rent and you just want to understand what's happening in them. Yeah. It can help you understand where something might be going wrong. I know for us, we have stores that are obviously on a schedule for when the lights come on, when the lights go off. And if you're noticing something that's gone awry there, that's normally an indication that either there's a human error, someone's like messed with or forgot to turn something off, or there's something else going on there. So I think for visibility, that's a really important thing. Another tool I've used frequently in a previous role was thermal imaging. I think it's quite important in manufacturing, definitely, but I've also have seen it being used. Electricians use it quite frequently when looking at distribution boards, and through basically a heat map, you can identify areas of potentially equipment where things are going to start to fail. So if we were looking at a machine, for example, the thermal imaging on that machine might highlight that the motor is overheating, therefore indicating that potentially that's going to burn out. And if it does burn out, it's us getting to it at a time where you can stop what you're doing, schedule in the replacement for it, and prevent there then being further damage or a breakdown. So the technology is absolutely out there to help us like predict and look at those things. Use it if it's there.
Absolutely. You heard it here. Yeah. Use your tech.
Use your tech. Yeah. Yeah.
So as we wrap up, I'd love to bring it back to your own journey.
Yeah.
What's your biggest challenge that you've experienced in your career, and what did it teach you?
I think the biggest challenge, it's a couple of them actually, I will touch on, I think, which is really important. The first I want to say is skill set that people expect you to have in the job that you're doing. And it's something I've came across quite frequently, especially in manufacturing, which is a very engineer heavy, male dominated environment. It's quite hard to have your voice. And I was met quite a lot with the expectations that you should possess the skills of an engineer, or you must know how to fix the HVAC.
Yeah.
I like an analogy of a football manager in the job that we do. Helps that it's FM, football manager and facilities manager, that you can think about some of the successful football managers that are out there. And I'm not going to try and name any because I don't want to embarrass myself. But they may never have actually played the game themselves. They will not possess the skill of the footballers on that pitch, but they know the right people with the right skill set and where to put them to get the best results. And I think that's the missing element there, that people have that expectation for you as a facilities manager. You must have come up through engineering. You must have come up through this channel. And the reality is that no, some of us haven't. You know, we've got the people thing down. We've got the building experience down. We know where the right people go and who to contact and have those right contacts and where are they best placed.
I absolutely love that analogy, because ultimately it's about getting the best out of people.
Yeah.
Whether it's, you know, your people you work with in your team, mm-hmm. or whether it's the contractors on the supply chain, and make sure you're getting the best out of them.
Yeah.
So I think that's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah. Just don't put me on a football pitch, because I can't do that one.
So we've got a closing tradition on the FM Fix. It's called the FM Fix Reactive Round.
Okay.
There's no time for thinking. Oh, just what comes.
Okay.
What comes first. Mm-hmm. So what's one FM myth you'd love to bust?
We're not just the fix-it team. Everyone thinks we're the fix-it people.
I like that.
And facilities is so much more than just about fixing what's coming through. It's about, we have our preventative maintenance team, so we can try and prevent those things from happening. But we are also those people that are involved in big projects that are happening, expansions of buildings, you know, redesigning layouts of factories and supporting and ultimately contributing to big business changes. So we deliver as well as not just fixing problems. So
what's the most underrated skill in FM?
Communication. I think we deal with people sometimes when they're in their most stressful situations.
Yeah.
We can read how to deal with those situations. Sometimes we're the calm in those situations. I think we really underestimate how important how we communicate to people what we're doing and how we're resolving those issues. Sometimes in a crisis scenario, you know, we're that point. So I know we kind of spoke about it earlier before coming in here, that I think sometimes the people element of our jobs can be forgotten, that people think that we're just for the buildings and we're not, we're for the people, and we're, the communication element of that is really, really important. And it's hard to get down, right?
Yes.
Communication is one of the hardest things we find as humans to do, but it is a really important skill for me anyways. I find in the job that I do, it's important for me to have.
One tool, one app, one system you can't live without.
I'm going to pick a really easy one that suits my life right now, which is my to-do list. I've recently upgraded that to an electronic platform, which is helping me just categorize, prioritize everything that I'm doing, whether that's project-based, whether that's people management-based. But I guess aside from that, CAFM tools are invaluable. I don't know how I've ever functioned before on spreadsheets with great difficulty, but I do think fundamentally that that's something you ought to look at and invest into, no matter the size of your business, whether you've got four buildings, one building, 100 buildings. I think that's definitely a tool for me. I wouldn't be able to function ever in my career without.
It's crazy to think that there's still facility managers out there using spreadsheets.
I know. Yeah.
And lastly, what's your favourite part of the job?
I don't think I can pick one. Again, a couple of things. I love all the different people I get to meet.
Yes.
I've met engineers. I've met all different types of engineers, process engineers, manufacturing engineers, but also, you know, electrical engineers, mechanical engineers. But then, you know, just throughout my career, again, now even into retail, I've met, again, lots of different people that work in lots of different departments. And just getting out and meeting people is the greatest thing, I think, about this job. And that's continuously evolving and continuously changing. You know, like I say, there's no days the same. You're meeting different people. The other thing I think is I just really like buildings. I really like buildings, even the leaking ones.
Yeah.
I think I probably was always going to fall into a job like this. I grew up in a family where my parents were just the fix-it kind of people.
Yeah.
Anyone in the family would go to them to help them with a DIY job. And I think my dad would be the first person I would call if back in the day I was like, why does the gutter look like that?
Yeah.
And he would help me. Now I'm probably the person with that knowledge. The tables have turned.
You're the ones they call.
I get that enjoyment out of my role and finding those problems with buildings and looking at all their quirks.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on the FM
Fix. Thank you for having me.
It's been amazing to learn your story.
Thanks.